Tom's always digging up songs I don't know, and that's one of them. We're glad you're here today. Janet and I made a quick run to Oklahoma with Jace, and we're all exhausted, and you might detect that in him today. We kind of wore him out while we were gone, and I'm not saying he wore us out, but I did get worn out while we were gone. I want to invite you to turn over to Psalm 7 this morning. I find a lot of things in the Psalms that bring me comfort and I've told you before that I really see Psalms as kind of David's blog. It's his place where he talks to you about God and says, this is what I think's going on, and this is how God deals with us. And I appreciate especially what he says in the seventh Psalm, and I hope it can bless your life this morning. It says, O Lord my God, in you I have put my trust. Save me from all of those who come for me and keep me safe. Or they will tear me like a lion and carry me away where there is no one to help. O Lord my God, if I've done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I've done wrong to him who is at peace with me, or without reason have robbed him who worked against me, let him who hates me come for me and catch me, and let him break me under his feet until I die, and lay my honor in the dust. Evidently, I hit that a little too hard. We can approach God acknowledging who we are. And when we go before God, we need to understand that we're taking who we are and laying it there, and we just will fess up because he already knows. I know, and I think you do, that my attempt in life is to please God. I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm not laying back with some kind of secret scheme that says I'm going to do anything I want and nobody's going to know about it, and I'll fool God. God understands me, and he understands my heart. And we need to be able to examine ourselves to see if we are innocent in a matter. And it's pretty hard to do. I talk with people all the time who are involved in controversy. And as they go through and talk about what goes on, very seldom do they see the part they play in the matter. You know, they were just there as a bystander and all this bad stuff happened. And you'll see, if you ever watch the program Cops or any of those derivative programs that come out of that, you know, they'll catch somebody, and I think my favorite in illustration, it's not a favorite show, but my favorite in illustration of this is, have you ever watched the program called Bait Car? The cops put out a car and it's got cameras all over it and microphones in it. And it's got a remote switch that they can kill the car and lock the doors whenever they want to. And they pull up and leave the car running or leave the keys in the car or leave the door ajar. And people walk by and they look at it, and they look at it two or three times. And then finally, one of them will get in, start the car, and take off. And the cops will follow them until they get to an area that they feel is kind of deserted, and then they'll shut the car down, and the car can't go any farther. And the people who are in the car are thinking, oh no, you know, this is terrible, I'm going to be caught in Grand Theft Auto, and what am I going to do? And the cops come up, and then they begin to offer their excuses. Well, the car was just sitting there, and I thought I'd take it to a safe place. Or the car was just sitting there, and it looked a lot like my friend's car, so I thought I'd take it to them and see whether it was my friend's car or not. They feign innocence all throughout it, and they're not very good at it. But you and I, when we feign innocence before God, we think we're pretty good at it. Our excuses sound just as lame to Him. But, you know, it's the... My oldest son's favorite expression as he was growing up was, "What? I didn't do anything. So what?" Well, you know what. I mean, you understand that. We have to know whether or not we're innocent in something or not. The psalmist goes on to say, "Rise up in your anger, O Lord. Rise up in anger against those who hate me. Awake, my God, and help me. Prove what is right. Let the people gather round you and rule over them from your throne. And may the Lord judge which people are guilty or not." Now think about this passage for a minute. God get upset about this. "We want you to be angry with people who are mistreating us. We want you not to look passively at their behavior as though it didn't matter. So rise up in your anger, get fully awake, and then reach out to intervene. Reach out to make a difference. Let people gather around you and you rule over them from your throne, and you determine those who are right and those who are wrong. You figure out who you believe are guilty and who are innocent. Oh Lord, judge in my favor if I'm right before you and if I'm without blame. Let the sins of the sinful stop, but build up those who are right before you. For the God who is right and good tests both the hearts and the minds. So I'm kept safe by God, who saves those who are pure in heart." Would you be willing to pray this before God? You know, save those who are pure in heart. Save those who are right and you can determine by looking at us both the intentions and our thoughts. You can tell what drives us, and you can tell the way that we're thinking. And based on those two things, you know that I'm pure in heart and trying to do what's right. So save us. Or would you have to go before God and pray, "Lord, you know all of us are weak. You know none of us do it right all of the time. And so save those of us who get caught up in our own sin." The psalmist is saying, "God, you know me. You know what I'm like. You know how I function. And so my appeal to you is based on who I am. Judge me about what is good and what is right." I think that's a pretty wild statement. "But you know my heart. Can you ask God to do what's right in all cases, knowing that you'll be on the side of right? Do you ask God to judge whether or not the actions going on around you are right or wrong? Or do you just want God to back you no matter what?" A while back I was reading some information on Jim Bowie. Jim Bowie was a big knife fighter and kind of a ne'er-do-well of Louisiana, and he eventually goes to Texas and dies at the Alamo. Jim Bowie was talking with his best friend. And he says, you know, I've never been in trouble at all except that one time. And looking at his friend, and he says, and you didn't back me up that time. And his friend looks at Jim Bowie and says, but Jim, you were wrong that time. And he says, I don't need friends when I'm right. I need friends when I'm wrong. He says, that's when I need you. Well, that's not what we're doing here. You're not saying, God, protect me when I'm in the wrong. You're saying, God, judge this when I'm doing the right thing. And make sure that's who I am. And then lift up the right and the blameless. Lift up those people who are attempting to be honorable before you. And those who are pure in heart. Is that a claim you make before God? I mean, could you in good conscience pray before God, save and lift up those people who are pure in heart? I hope you'd feel comfortable doing that. There are some people who read Psalms like this and say, well, you know, I could never be that way. But the psalmist is saying, basically, this is who I am. I'm pure in heart. I try to do right things. And you who judge the hearts and the minds of men, you know who I am. So lift up those who are pure in heart. The psalmist goes on and says, God is always right in how he judges. I think that we can get our heads around that. And I think that we can say we know that's true. We're just not always sure that he's going to land on our side. And that's our concern. God is always right with how he judges, and he is angry with the sinful every day. And if a man is not sorry for his sins and will not turn from them, then God will make his sword sharp. He will string his bow and make it ready. He takes up his sword and the bow of death, and he makes arrows of fire. Understand just how opposed God is to the sinful. Now, God's made provision for your sin. I understand that in Jesus, all our sins are taken away, and we can have honest and pure lives before him. That's true. But it doesn't mean that God's not so opposed to the sinful that his wrath awaits any who will not step away from their sin. But you have to be prepared to be those who turn away, who are sorry for it. People aren't always sorry for sin. How many folks have you heard say, well, I know that wasn't the right thing to do, but, you know, given what I knew at the time and given the circumstances, I suppose I'd do it exactly like that again. If you know it's wrong, how would you do it exactly like that again? You know, people who honor God and who follow God are people who are willing to say, okay, that was wrong, and I turn from that. And I'll do something else next time. See how the sinful man thinks up sins, plans troubles, and then lies start growing inside him. Now, it's possible that you identify with that verse. We don't want you to. But is your self-rationalization such that the lies begin to grow inside you? And you take more and more from the outside and you craft a method of being evil, thinking that somehow it won't be noticed or it won't be taken that way. This man's sins are things that he builds a big fancy house around, and it's wickedness. He's dug out a deep hole and fallen into his own hole that he dug. and the trouble he makes will return to him. When he hurts others, it will come down on his head. Scripture tells us very clearly that God opposes those who are sinful, and that he even allows their own evil to work against them. They fall into the pits that they dig, the traps that they lay for other people, they catch themselves. And the trouble he devises will fall down onto his own head. You know, I'll admit that there have been a number of times that my sin has really fallen back more on me than it has anybody else. The healthy thing to do is to recognize that and then to begin to make new choices. And then the psalmist makes this statement, and this is the one that I think we really need to focus on. He says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because he is right and he is good. And I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High." How do you actually look at God? There are those who have a picture of God in their heads, of God being a grandfatherly figure in heaven somewhere who looks down and just smiles at everyone. Other people have a picture of God almost being a big thumb, that he's just looking to wipe out people that do bad things. But the psalmist says, one thing I know about God, God is both right and good. God always picks the right thing. And that allows us to move in a direction that moves with him, because we know the consistency of his nature. And ultimately, he always does good. God's not a God of meanness. He's not a God of vengeance. Now, he takes vengeance on those who are unrighteous, but toward those who are his children, that's not who God is and not how he acts. When I was a young boy in Detroit, there was a fella down the road that we tormented all the time. And he lived on our block, and at the time we didn't realize who he was, but the guy was a nudist. We called him Nature Boy. And so in his house, he didn't wear any clothes. So we thought that it was great fun. Well, he didn't wear any clothes in his backyard. And we thought it was great fun to go to his house and ring the doorbell. You know, and then he'd have to put, you know, a dressing gown on or, you know, something to come to the door. And it just griped him all the time. And so we'd ring his doorbell, I don't know, 20 to 30 times a day. And it made him mad. And he'd eventually get so mad, he'd just run out there and scream at you. Now, we knew his character and we knew his nature. Or we thought we did. We thought he was a mean guy. Till one day I saw him with his grandkids. And he had his grandkids out in the yard and he was playing all kinds of games with them. And I thought, boy, that is a really nice old man. What's the deal with him? It's as though his kids were somehow different than everybody else. Well, God's that way. God's children are different than everybody else. God works with his children, always giving them the benefit of the doubt, always extending mercy, always looking at them through grace-filled eyes. And those who are in rebellion to him and opposed to him, God's not merciful to them. But how do you see God? You know, is this a verse that's characteristic of your understanding of God? That God is right and good, and because of that, we praise him day and night. We want you to see God and see His Word as always being helpful. Never go to the Word of God and think, oh, this is going to mess up what I want to do. God's Word is always helpful to you. And we want you to start looking at His will in a different way. We want your eyes really to be open to everything that God is doing. We want you to think about God through the notion of He is good and right. And when you see things that go on that aren't good and right, you don't put them down to God. Because God is good and right. We want you to understand that God is good and right even when things are messed up in your own life and things aren't going well. You know, I know a lot of people who evaluate how God is based on their personal circumstances. That God is mean because things aren't going right in my world. That God's disconnected from me because I don't have a job right now. That God's not paying attention to me because my wife and I aren't getting along. And they go through and they evaluate the way God is based on their own circumstances. We want the information God says about Himself to define how you see God, even when your particular circumstances don't give any evidence to that, because there'll be times that that's true. And we want you to recognize that you, as God's child, are always seen by God through grace-filled eyes. God always looks at you with mercy. He always sees you as kind and as someone that He wants with Him. And then finally, we want you to be a people who walk in a path that's devoted to what God says, devoted to God's way in the world. If you're here today and need to know what it is that God wants you to do, we'll go to God's Word and we'll look at that. If we can help you be more like Jesus, whatever your need is, you can come as together we stand and sing.